The first of two front office reports this week is brought to you by Stoli Vodka, a Latvian product with operations in Ukraine, and by Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros at needco.com, and also by Timeout Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof, timeoutmarket.com. And joining us this morning on the Harbor One Hotline, it is Red Sox President Sam Kennedy. Hey, Sam, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, guys. Good morning.
Great to have you on.
Well, I guess it's okay to be with you.
We'll get to that stuff later. But I did want to mention David Ortiz and what a weekend that was. And from the organization's perspective, what he means. I know there will be a ceremony at Fenway tonight. I think it's pregame, which I'm excited about seeing. And certainly the guy is one of arguably the best to ever play for the franchise.
Well, it was a special weekend. I would agree with you that he was certainly, you could argue, the in terms of talent, and you got a franchise with Ted Williams, Kari Stremski, and so on and so forth. But in terms of importance and what this guy means to not just the Red Sox, but all of New England, he is clearly the most important player in our history. And it was great to see all of his former teammates and friends and family there supporting him. Great day for the organization and just an incredibly well-deserved honor for Big Poppy.
As you approach the trade deadline, I know you got a win last night, but maybe the kind of the bitter taste of this past weekend is still lingering. What are you guys looking at when it comes to being buyers or sellers as we get close to it here?
Yeah, it's a great question. The last couple weeks have been, not just the last weekend, but the last really 3.5 weeks have been incredibly frustrating, embarrassing at times in terms of how we've played. Just all over the field has not been up to our expectations. So look, there's no quit in that dugout, in that clubhouse. You see it in our players. You see it in their commentary. You hear it from our leader, Alex Cora. No one is waving the white flag. We've gone through an incredibly difficult stretch. We were not built to be a 500 club. We're 49 at 48. We're way out of the division right now. We're a couple games back of the wild card, but no one's given up. We got to keep grinding here. This is a critical week against Cleveland and then Milwaukee over the weekend. So we just got it's a old cliche in baseball, but we just got to go one day at a time. Let's get another win tonight and see what happens.
When Alex Cora says, he said the other night, this is a very talented team, and then you see, you name it, you mentioned it, you see Jaren Duran standing there watching that ball, things that are just don't, to me, show a talented team. Is there a disconnect between he and the players? Are you not getting the effort? Are those guys, are they just not into it? What's your view from where you are?
Well, I agree that this is an incredibly talented team. And if you go back to spring training and, the team that was put together and assembled was built to compete in this division and built to compete in the postseason. That is for sure. That was our plan. That was our intention. We haven't shown it other than that stretch in June where we seemed to be on a roll. I think we were 20-6 or something like that in the month of June, and you really started to see the team clicking. Unfortunately, things kind of fell apart here the last couple of weeks, and there's so many different things you can point to. I don't think there's a disconnect or a lack of effort or a lack of desire. We just haven't been executing, and that happens throughout the course of a long season. It's just we need to now turn things around and play to the caliber that we're capable of playing. We're not going to make excuses, but let's be honest. Injuries have definitely factored into that difficult stretch, but can't make excuses. We got to backfill with depth, and hopefully we can get back on track here, and it's got to happen quickly.
Sam, Greg brings up some of the comments that Alex has made after games, and we've played some audio where it seems like he's almost pleading or speaking directly to Heim through media that they need help. Are those conversations happening behind closed doors between Alex and Haim? How's that relationship working in the clubhouse?
Yeah, I've been in baseball, Cordy, since 1993, and typically the perception that sports figures are talking to each other through the media in organizations that I've seen is just never true. And I can say with absolute certainty, Haim and Alex Cora have perhaps the best general manager relationship that I've seen in my time here. They've got incredibly open dialogue, honest dialogue. All of us talk all the time on a daily basis. So everyone is on the same page. Look, let's be honest. Our job is to win. Our job is to build a team that's set to compete for a postseason spot. And when we're not playing well, it's frustrating. But we believe in this team. We believe in Alex. And in terms of Haim Bloom and the entire baseball ops front office, they have a close relationship with the staff, and they're in touch all the time. And no one is talking to each other through the media, I can assure you of that. If we express frustration publicly, that's because we're frustrated.
Being with this team as long as you have, can you envision Xander Bogaerts wearing another uniform?
No, I can't.
So does that mean that this team will do everything in its power to sign him?
Yeah, I mean, we've said it repeatedly on these airwaves and in other forums. We've got a responsibility to do everything in our power to make sure that we're built to be competitive into the postseason. And Xander, Rafi, and the guys who have gotten us there in the past, we hope they're a part of this for a long, long time.
And Sam, just a quick follow-up on that. Could you guarantee to the Red Sox fans listening this morning that Xander Bogaerts will be a member of the Red Sox on August 3rd?
Look, all I'll say is there's been no discussions or commentary internally or externally about moves related to the trade deadline involving Xander or Rafi or anyone else, to my knowledge, at this point. We're focused on getting back in this thing and winning.
Sam, you talk about getting back in this thing, and you talk about the feeling like you have a talented team. Xander Bogaerts spoke, and he talked about, and I believe he feels like you guys have a talented team, where he's talked about possibly getting some help. I've been in locker rooms before where as players we feel like we're a few pieces away. How much communication between players and, let's say, front office and ownership, you know, kind of is – maybe not talked about, but communicated on a sense of like, hey, we're right still in the mix of things, and if we can add pieces here or there from a player's perspective, how much is that is taken into consideration from front office's view?
Well, look, communication is the key to any being effective leading any organization. So it's our job in the front office to make sure that Alex Cora and the staff have everything they need to be successful. And in my time here, we've been blessed with some incredible managers on field, Tito, John Farrell, and now one of the best we've ever had in Alex Cora. And one of the things Alex is so good at is communication, communicating with players, communicating with the front office, with our ownership group. He's just extraordinary. So, look, we're all rowing in the same direction, and we want to get things going here.
Sam, as you know, we're in here every day and taking calls and watching the comments on Twitch. And so I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about something that I think bothered a lot of listeners and some in the city when it came to the broad brush that LeBron James painted the city with. Has that been discussed internally, and what is the organization's thought on that from somebody who is an important part of the ownership group?
Yeah, I think I completely understand the issue, and it's difficult when you have an entire city or a region painted with a broad brush, as you say. But, you know, I do want to address them, and I appreciate the opportunity. I just at the outset, I certainly do not speak for LeBron James. I've never walked in his shoes. I've never experienced what he's experienced. Obviously, no one on planet Earth has. So it would be, you know, inappropriate and just not right for me to opine on his comments. Just wouldn't be appropriate. But I can tell you that we've got, I don't know, 30 plus investors or limited partners in the Fenway Sports Group. Fenway Sports Group is the parent company of the Red Sox. It's the entity that owns the Red Sox. And those limited partners, including LeBron James, do not speak for the Red Sox. Those of us in the front office, we speak for the Red Sox. And look, we know that racism exists in every city in America, including Boston, unfortunately. That said, we've got the best sports fans in the country. We've got the best baseball fans in the country. So, you know, that's the Red Sox perspective and where we stand on it.
Is it, and just trying to figure out how it works, is that something where you or John Henry or anybody reaches out to LeBron James or his team and says, hey, you know, love to have a discussion with you about this because we're here every day and we're not, you know, we don't believe that this is the most racist city in the U.S.?
Look, we've worked hard. We've been here for 20 years and we've tried to be a positive for change in the city of Boston. And that starts by winning championships on the field. All of the major sports teams have won championships here over the last two decades. We've also tried to make Fenway Park a welcoming, warm, hospitable place for our fans, our players, our employees. I think we've made great strides, but the work is never done. We love that our fans are intense and give us a competitive advantage at Fenway, in our other venues. And when they do that, you know, look, we've got 3+ million people coming through our gates every year. And the overwhelming majority of our fans come in and they honor our code of conduct and behave in the right way. And, you know, look, unfortunately, there's a small minority of people from time to time over the past two decades that have violated that code of conduct. And we've taken a strong stand on that. So we acknowledge that. We know that it happens. And there's just no place for racism or hate speech anywhere, and especially in our sports venues. So it's something we've worked really hard at. And so we acknowledge that when these incidents happen, they're unfortunate. And they can sometimes, cause people to paint all of Boston in a certain way. And I understand that that's frustrating to someone who grew up here and someone who loves the city as much as anybody and loves all of our teams. It can be challenging, but it just means we need to work harder and we need to keep the dialogue open and continue to support each other as a sports community and support our players and hope that we can continue to be a force for good and positive change. I've seen a lot of change in our city, being here most of my life, and I think that's a really powerful thing.
You've seen me throw out a first pitch, and you know I don't throw hard balls, but I do have one more tough one for you if you're up for it before you go.
Absolutely.
When you mentioned being welcoming to fans, is it a concern at all internally that this ballpark for a family of four is the most expensive in Major League Baseball?
Absolutely, and that's why the good news is we've worked hard over the last couple of years to make sure that that next generation of fans can come here. And while we acknowledge our tickets are expensive and the cost of going to a ball game is expensive for a family of four, so we certainly appreciate the investment that our fans make. We've taken specific steps to try and make sure that everyone can access Fenway Park. First of all, I think the market knows this, but if they don't, we started a student nine program where high school, middle school, college kids can come to Fenway Park every night, every game for $9. This program is really building in popularity. I think we sold five times as many student nine tickets this year as we did last year. We've got a family four pack where fans can come to Fenway for get four tickets, food and beverage for just $99. We have lots of inventory, 3 million tickets a year, lots of games. So we have been able to bring the cost of tickets down, make them affordable, make Fenway accessible. That's how you get people to fall in love with baseball. So we work hard on that. And then we're very clear, the corporations and the individuals that buy our premium inventory and our more expensive seats, we reinvest those revenues right back into the team and the product on the field and in the Fenway to improve it over the years. That's been our formula, and it's worked well, and we're going to keep doing it.
All right, Curtis, you had one more quickie?
Just a quick one. I think people here, Sam, are happy paying high price for tickets when they feel that the team is prioritizing bringing in the high-priced talent and sustaining the talent that comes up through their system. No better example exists than Rafael Devers, who, according to Alex Speer in the Boston Globe, is $100-plus million apart from the organization. Are the numbers that Speer wrote about accurate depiction of what the negotiation has been like with your star third baseman?
Yeah, Chris, obviously I'm not going to talk about negotiations with a player who's on our roster and under our control for a little bit longer, and someone we're having ongoing dialogue with. But I would say that thanks to this ownership group, we've been at the very, very top, just to directly answer your question, the very, very top of spending in Major League Baseball ever since we've been here. And we've done that through adding veteran free agents like J.D. Martinez, or extending Chris Sale after a big trade, or extending Xander Bogaerts, signing Nady Evaldi, adding Trevor Story. I mean, the list goes on, and it goes back for decades. The simple fact is we're sitting at 500 in late July, and that's not acceptable. That's not where we want to be. So we fully take lots of criticism, maybe how we've allocated the dollars. We're not playing well right now, but I have to defend this organization for the simple fact that we do invest those revenues back into the product on the field, into the ballpark for a great experience. That's undeniable. And any narrative that this ownership group does not invest into this club is simply false.
I would say it's true. It has been true. Absolutely. The four titles, what you guys have done with Fenway Park has been sensational. My whole life I wanted to see the Red Sox win a World Series. You guys helped bring it here, and then three more. There are no long-term deals outside of Story. It seems to be an aversion from liabilities down the line and ensuring your top players stay around. That it just seems like there's been a shift in the organizational philosophy.
Yeah, I think we are committed to doing everything we can to put a team out there that wins year in and year out. Sometimes that takes the form of long-term contracts for existing players that you extend, as we did in the case of Xander Bogaerts. Sometimes that comes in the form of bringing in a new free agent like a J.D. Martinez. It takes all sorts of different contracts and arrangements to be competitive, drafting well, developing well, signing extensions, making trades. Chris, being up at Cooperstown this weekend, you realize that the sort of connective tissue from going all the way back to when John and Tom and Larry Lucchino and I arrived, we've just been blessed with some incredible championship teams and a lot of great homegrown players, but also some players that have come from organizations. And that culture and that desire to win is as strong today as it ever was. And we're going to continue to do that. Our fans need to know that. And we're just not going to comment or talk publicly about negotiations or discussions with existing players. This wouldn't be appropriate. It's not fair to those players, not fair to their representatives. But we're going to keep doing what we've been doing. The organizational philosophy, just to address that, is to win.
Sam, thanks for taking the extra time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
All right, Sam Kennedy. I guess we'll figure out whether there were any nuggets in that coming up. Do we have time for trending quick, Ken?
Of course, yeah,
all right,
always.
Let's get to trending.
Gresh and Keith, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, you just heard from Sam Kennedy in another matchup with Cleveland for the Sox tonight. 7:10 start with Josh Winkowski on the mound. You can catch all that action right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. And make sure to join Mutt for the Visit Massachusetts pregame show at 6:10, sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Start your summer at visitma.com. And so we're going to get to Kennedy after the break, correct?
Yes.
All right. So just one little thing when it comes to Jaylen Brown. A lot of people wondering if the Celtics were thinking about trading him before this Kevin Durant scenario presented itself. And according to Bleacher Report's Jake Fisher, the Celtics didn't float Brown to the San Antonio Spurs when they made a run at Kawhi Leonard back in 2018. Boston appeared to be in the mix for Anthony Davis a year later, but the C's only internally deliberated, including Brown, in a haul to send to New Orleans. So apparently inside of the TD Garden, they were talking about the potential of sending Brown well before KD became the centerpiece of this whole thing, but never offered him to any other teams.
Well, San Antonio wanted him for Kawhi Leonard, but the Celtics said no.
And this trending is the average yearly medical expenses due to an unhealthy body weight, $1,800. The ability to keep up with your kids, priceless.
What? It's Awaken 180 Weight Loss, our good friends.
It doesn't say Awaken 180 Weight Loss on here.
Okay, it does on the top, but my apologies. This trending now is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
You can't catch her off guard like that. I feel like maybe you're trying to sabotage.
You agree, though. That wasn't me, right?
She's in the middle of something.
It's like a Ron Burgundy, like kind of just read it when they hand it to you thing. That's not fair.
Right.
Right.
I don't appreciate
it. I'm
that,
Courtney Cox.
Well, it says Awaken 180, very small on the top.
It's Awaken 180. Okay.
Not how I speak. If I did speak like that, that's how I'd say it.
All right. That's trending. Curtis, weather. We're looking okay. Sunny,
okay,
something like that.
It's sunny. That weather report is brought to you by Arch Painting. And what's on deck this season? How about a beautiful new deck and rail system from TimberTech? At CCL Homescapes in Abington, you'll see a huge selection of TimberTech products. TimberTech decks are a low-maintenance alternative to wood. Let the experts at CCL help you enjoy life from your new deck. CCLCO.com. And did you know, high pressure outside and high pressure from Greg to Sam.